Good evening. It is 5 p.m. on Thursday, August 6th, and you're tuned into CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Laurie, and this is Kingston Currents, your weekly roundup of the latest Limestone local news. CFRC's news programming is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, and for our podcast, Smith Engineering at Queen's University. Coming up in today's episode, our feature story is the kickoff of Theatre Kingston's Fringe Festival today, a special uncurated portion of the Kick and Push Festival featuring 17 shows over the next 11 days. Then some messages directly from the City of Kingston and a message from Cataraqui Conservation on their Lemoyne Point Conservation Area Grassland Habitat Restoration Project. Plus your weather and traffic report for this upcoming week and a few events to keep on your radar from CFRC's events calendar. Without further delay, let's dive in. The Theatre Kingston Fringe Festival returns August 6th to 16th as part of the Kick and Push Festival, bringing 17 shows to Kingston over 11 days. Unlike most of Kick and Push, the Fringe isn't curated. Artists enter a lottery for a spot, meaning the festival can bring together a wide range of performances and give artists the chance to try something they might not otherwise have had the opportunity to stage. Rosemary Doyle is the artistic director of TK Fringe. Here's how she described the festival in an interview with CFRC.
Well, we're kind of the scrappy younger sister of the Kick and Push Festival, so the Kick and Push Festival, most of the shows are curated to be the innovative, interesting things that professionals are doing in and around. And so they bring them into Kingston. And then with the Fringe, there is no curation. You just join a lottery and you're in it. But because of that, we have a lot of people that bring very innovative things that they would not be able to do other places. So it is innovative. It is fun. But it's the Fringe. So it's got a little bit of more of an air of excitement and an air of like, here, we're going to do this because why not?
This is the Fringe's 10th anniversary, and Doyle has been involved for 8 of those years. Over that time, the festival has moved through storefronts, the pandemic, and into the Grand Theater. This year brings another change with the Grand closed for air conditioning renovations. TK Fringe is moving to the Tet Center, which happens to be home turf, with the Tet Center being where Theatre Kingston's studio space is located.
And with our evolution, we've gone from being a storefront Fringe to going through the pandemic and being a virtual online Fringe to now, then we decided we wanted to be comfortable, so we put stuff in the Grand and we created spaces there. And now this year, because the Grand is closed for air conditioning renovation, we are now in the Tet Center, and I'm really excited to see how the Tet Center lends itself to being a Fringe venue.
Doyle says the Tet Center also brings some new possibilities this year.
This time we have, instead of 3 venues that we usually have, we have 2. And so the festival is much more like a festival in that every day for 11 days, there's programming all day until well into the night every single day. So it's much more like every day you can see many, many shows happening as opposed to something that just kind of comes awake as a festival during the weekend and then kind of becomes more manageable during the week. This is going to be fantastic and huge all the whole 11 days through. We'll have a lobby with the box office in it, so there'll be somewhere where you can go between shows. You can also, the Juniper's all set to be giving us like things faster, so you can pop in, grab something, and then hang out by the water while you wait to see the next show, and you can wander to all the galleries and stuff. So there'll be stuff to do between shows because we are in the Tet Center. The venues, you'll see a big difference in the TK studio space. We've turned it into a perfect little black box. We've done a lot of renovations to it and innovations to it to make it that much better, a little space. So it won't look quite so much as when people have seen shows here in the past where it's kind of an office-y place turned into a theater. This now is very much a theater.
While Fringe festivals can range significantly in size, Doyle says TK Fringe has found a good balance for Kingston.
Here in Kingston, we're considered a boutique Fringe. As far as small Fringe festivals go, we're on the larger side. But it's really about, like some Fringe festivals have like 5 shows in them. Like, we're 17. So we're a good size, but it's also, we're a good size for Kingston. I think this is about the right amount because we get a good audience for most of the shows, right? So that, for me, it's that. Like, once we start selling out every single show in the Fringe, then I will think about making it a bigger Fringe. But until we have good return for the artists involved, I think you keep it at a reasonable, digestible level.
The Fringe model is also designed to make putting on a show more accessible. The artists share venues, crew, marketing, and other resources, allowing individual companies to put on work at a fraction of what it could cost to produce a show on their own.
The idea of a Fringe festival is that all these shows come together, and so they're able to put on something collectively that none of them would be able to afford by themselves. So, like, for example, putting up a show by yourself, usually the outpay for a theater show to be able to do one would be anywhere from a minimum of $3,000 to go up from there. Now, for the Fringe Festival, we charge each show $420. So that means that from the ticket price, a lot more money goes into their pocket. Have to work a lot harder. That's all. But that's okay. It's kind of fun too, though.
And for audiences, Doyle says the idea is not necessarily to pick one show and go home. It's about taking a chance on something you might not otherwise see, and then finding the next one.
The idea of a Fringe is, for the audience, you don't just come and see one play. That's not fringing. You know, what you do with when you come and do the Fringe, you come, you see a play, you think, that was great. You get out of the play, you go, what am I going to say next? You see the next play.
Ultimately, Doyle says she hopes TK Fringe becomes something Kingston audiences recognize and look forward to each year.
I'm hoping that more people know what it is, so that the next time I get interviewed, everyone's like, oh, it's the Fringe is back. Yay, the Fringe. Everybody knows what a Fringe is. You know, that's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping that everybody will come, experience it, and then be looking forward to seeing it next year.
And 8 years in, Doyle still gets a thrill from the sheer logistics of making 17 different shows happen.
I've been in theater since I was 8 years old, and my favorite thing about theater is actually making it happen. And when one is involved being the production manager and the artistic director of the Fringe, you just get to do that writ large. Like, you're making 17 different companies happy, 17 different companies. You're fixing out what their mistakes are. You're like, you're fixing mistakes before they could happen. You're like working out the logistics. You're just keeping the machine rolling. So, like, when I actually run the Fringe, because I start every single show, because I feel like I need to be there just in case something, you know, if anything goes wrong, I'm the person that needs to be there. So I start every single show, and while it's running, it's really great because I feel like a train conductor. Like, I feel like the guy from Thomas the Tank Engine. You know, I'm like going, and go, and go. And it all just runs like absolute clockwork.
Once again, TK Fringe runs August 6th to 16th as part of the Kick and Push Festival, with 17 productions presented at two locations within the Tet Center, starting in the late morning and running well into the night. And one final note from Doyle, if you're going to Fringe, don't be late. But if you are, be sure to catch something else.
Be fashionably early to Fringe, or take the risk and go see something else. If you don't make it to the show that you were supposed to go to, come and see a different show.
Before we get into more local news, let's take a look at your weather and traffic report for the rest of the week. Starting with the roads, looking ahead to the weekend, there's a few major closures to keep in mind. First, tonight, King Street West at George Street will be affected by overnight paving from 7 p.m. tonight until 6 a.m. tomorrow morning, with crews working near KHSC's emergency ramp. For ongoing closures, Princess Street remains closed between Frontenac and Division for reconstruction. Cranbrook Street between Lakeview Avenue and Days Road is closed for pedestrian improvements through August 31st. Park Street between McDonnell and Victoria Streets is closed daily for installation of an all-way stop through August 14th. South Bartlett Street between Victoria and Smith Streets remains closed for facade restoration, and Leroy Grant Drive is closed between John Counter Boulevard and Elliott Avenue for roadway rehabilitation. And the big one for the weekend, the Kingston Thousand Islands Poker Run will bring road closures downtown from Friday morning through Sunday evening. Ontario Street between Brock Street and Clarence Street will be closed from 7 a.m. Friday through 6:30 p.m. Sunday. Then on Saturday, Fairview Road between Hilldale Avenue to the end of the road will close from 2 to 7 p.m. for the Fairview Road Block Party. And looking a little further ahead, the LaSalle Causeway will be fully closed to vehicles, cyclists, and pedestrians on Sunday, August 9th from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. to allow for the temporary opening of the Marine Navigation Channel. Now looking to the skies, tonight we're expecting clouds with a 40% chance of showers and a low of 19. Tomorrow on Friday, a mix of sun and cloud with a 30% chance of showers and a high of 27. It'll be a little cooler overnight with cloudy periods and a low of 18. On Saturday, expect a mix of sun and cloud with a 30% chance of showers and a high of 27. So a decent start to the weekend, some clouds, some sunshine, and a chance you'll want to keep an umbrella nearby. Those are your traffic and weather updates for this upcoming weekend. Now let's turn back to more local news. Cataract Lake Conservation is preparing to begin a major grassland habitat restoration project at Lemoyne Point Conservation Area, with work getting underway this month and continuing into spring 2027. The project is focused on about 22.5 hectares at the south end of Lemoyne Point, where native grasses and wildflowers have gradually been replaced by shrubs and other woody vegetation. According to Cataract Lake Conservation, that shrub encroachment has reduced the quality of habitat for a number of species, including bobolink and eastern meadowlark, two native grassland birds that are listed as threatened under the Federal Species at Risk Act. It has also reduced the availability of plants that support pollinators. The goal of the project is to restore the area to functional native grassland by removing invasive or encroaching shrubs, including gray dogwood, and re-establishing native grasses and flowering plants. Cataract Way Conservation says the restored habitat will provide better conditions for threatened grassland birds, other ground nesting species, and pollinators, while also making the area more resilient to climate change and future shrub and invasive species encroachment. Cataract Way Conservation has hired Ducks Unlimited Canada's Conservation Pro Division to carry out the work. The restoration will involve mechanically clearing the woody vegetation, followed by targeted herbicide applications where necessary to prevent the shrubs from quickly returning. The site will then be prepared and seeded with native grass and forb mix, designed with the habitat needs of bobolink and other grassland species in mind. Cataract Way Conservation says the project is being carried out using an integrated pest management approach, meaning a combination of methods will be used to restore the habitat while minimizing environmental impacts and limiting chemical treatment to only what is necessary. The timing of the work has also been designed to minimize disturbance to species at risk and comply with federal and provincial requirements protecting wildlife. There will be some impacts for people visiting Lemoyne Point while the work is underway. Cataract Way Conservation says the south parking lot at the front road entrance, along with portions of the service road and nearby trails, will have temporary closures during some phases of the project. During vegetation clearing in August, Trail 5, which runs directly through the restoration area, is expected to be closed for up to about 2 weeks. There will also be temporary restrictions around the restoration area during the herbicide application, which is expected to require about a day of closure in September. Cataract Way Conservation says closures will be limited to a few hours or days whenever possible, and visitors will be notified through social media and signage at parking areas and trails. The northern portion of Lemoyne Point Conservation Area will not be affected. The project is expected to continue through the spring of 2027, when the restored meadow will be monitored to see how successfully the new grassland vegetation has become established and whether any early maintenance is needed. Cataract Way Conservation says the project is funded through external partners specifically for habitat restoration. Questions about the Lemoyne Point Grassland Habitat Restoration Project can be directed to Cataract Way Conservation at 613-546-4228 or through its general email address, info@crca.ca. A familiar summer tradition is returning to Grass Creek Park next weekend with the Kingston Sheepdog Trials Festival running August 7th through 9th. The City of Kingston says skilled sheepdogs and their handlers will once again take over Grass Creek Park for the three-day festival, which combines competitive sheepdog trialing with demonstrations, family activities, and a vendor market. This year marks the 38th Kingston Sheepdog Trial at Grass Creek Park. Amanda Milliken, chair of the Sheepdog Trials Committee, says it promises to be a special event with the sheep coming from a flock on Wopu's Island. She says those sheep are happy to challenge the dogs, making for a particularly difficult test of wits, and plenty of dramatic moments. For anyone unfamiliar with the sport, trialing involves dogs, usually border collies, competing with their handlers to herd sheep through a series of obstacles. But the city says there's more to the festival than the competition. Visitors can also check out shearing, spinning and weaving demonstrations, agility shows, face painting, and a vendor market. The City of Kingston's events office is supporting the festival again this year. Megan Surratt, the city's manager of events and programs, says the sheepdog trials have been captivating audiences in Kingston for decades, offering a weekend of world-class competition, demonstrations, activities, and vendors, celebrating agricultural traditions, all in the setting of Grass Creek Park. The festival runs Friday, August 7th and Saturday, August 8th from 8 in the morning until 6 in the evening. On Sunday, August 9th, it runs from 8 in the morning until 5 p.m. Grass Creek Park is at 2991 Highway 2 in East Kingston. Admission is $10 per person per day or $25 for all 3 days, and children under 12 get in for free. Both cash and card will be accepted at the gate. The city says more information is available through the city's website or at kingstonsheepdogtrials.ca. In another message directly from the City of Kingston, the City of Kingston is introducing a new visitor access process at City Hall, with visitors now being asked to check in at the front reception desk when entering the building during regular business hours. The change took effect on Tuesday, July 28th. According to a City of Kingston release, visitors entering City Hall will see signage directing them to the reception area, where they'll have a brief check-in before being directed to where they need to go. People visiting public-facing services, including the payment center and the elections office, can proceed to those areas after checking in. If someone is attending a meeting or conducting business in a non-public area of City Hall, they'll be met and escorted by a city staff member. The new process also applies to tourists and people taking self-guided visits. After checking in, they can continue to visit designated public areas. Organized tours and groups attending meetings, events, or other civic activities will also be required to report to the front reception desk. The city says the new process follows a third-party threat risk assessment at City Hall, along with ongoing workplace health and safety planning. Importantly, the city says this is a proactive measure and is not being introduced in response to a specific incident or threat. City Hall remains open to residents, tourists, visitors, staff, and people conducting business with the city. The city says the new check-in process is intended to improve safety and help visitors find their way through the building, while maintaining public access to City Hall. And a reminder from the City of Kingston for anyone who wants to have a say in this year's municipal election stickers. The city says more than 60 designs were submitted by community members of all ages, and the finalists have now been selected. There are 6 finalists for the I Voted sticker and 4 finalists for the Future Voter sticker, and the city is now asking Kingstonians to choose the winners. Voting is open to all Kingston residents until 4 p.m. on August 17th. You can vote online through the city's Get Involved Kingston website or by calling 613-546-0000 or by emailing getinvolvedkingston@cityofkingston.ca. The winning designs will be printed and handed out at voting locations during advance voting on October 16th and 17th, and Election Day, October 26th. I Voted stickers will be available to voters at all voting locations, while the Future Voter stickers will also be available for young people. The winning designers will get a sheet of their stickers to keep as a memento. So if you want to help decide what Kingston's official election stickers look like this year, the city says you have until 4 p.m. August 17th to cast your vote. Before we wrap up this evening, I'm going to run through your weekend forecast, a roundup of just some of the events Kingston has to offer to finish off your week. Starting tonight, if you're looking to head out after tonight's show, at 6:30 p.m. you can head to the Tet Center for Finding Scenes in Everyday Life, Looking, Walking, Writing, an event focused on observing the world around you and turning those everyday moments into writing. At 7, there's a screening of High School Musical at Springer Market Square. Also at 7, Sensing Survival gets underway at the Elbow Lake Environmental Education Center. If you're looking to do some trivia tonight, you've got plenty of options at 7, Music Trivia at Something in the Water, Trivia at Riverhead, and Trivia at Spearhead. Then at 8:30, karaoke gets going at Jersey's, followed by another round at The Buckle at 9. And at 9:30, the weekly Urban Music Social takes over La Vida Bistro. On Friday, August 7th, starting at 10 in the morning at Grass Creek Park, the Kingston Sheepdog Trials Spindle Fest gets underway. You can head to the Sydenham Street Community Space between Princess and Queen at 12:30 for a Spanish conversation session. At 7 p.m., it's time to kick up your boots. Kickin' a Country returns to the City Hall Amphitheater with live local country music. And if you're still going later, Friday night karaoke starts at The Buckle at 9, with karaoke night at Daft Brewing also getting underway at 9 and running until 1 a.m. On Saturday, August 8th, it's a busy one. The Kingston Public Market gets underway at Springer Market Square at 8:30 in the morning, featuring local vendors. Then at 10, the Gananoque Craft Market takes over Town Hall until 4. And from 10 until 4, the Women's Arts Festival takes place at City Park, celebrating women artists and creators. At 11, you can catch Chef Demos with Aqua Terra at the City Hall Amphitheater. Then at 12:30, Saturday Sessions brings local musicians to Confederation Park. And at 3 p.m., head back out to Grass Creek Park for the Kingston Sheepdog Trials Sheep to Shawl Competition, where you can watch the sheepdog trials and see the process of turning fleece into a finished shawl. Then at 7, you can wrap up your Saturday with some line dancing at The Buckle. And finally, on Sunday, August 9th, the Memorial Center Farmers Market runs from 9 until 2. And at 10, you've got two options, yoga in Battery Park or the Kingston Sheepdog Trials Shawl Auction and Spinning Frolic at Grass Creek Park. And if you've been following the sheepdog events all weekend, Sunday is the finale, with the Shawl Auction and Spinning Frolic bringing festivities to a close. Then for the Night Owls, karaoke takes over both The Merchant and The Toucan at 9 p.m. Be sure to keep in mind this weekend as well, both the Kingston Sheepdog Trials and the TK Fringe Festival take place over the entire weekend, so be sure to catch a few events. Once again, that was just some of the events coming up this weekend in the region. Be sure to head to CFRC.ca for our full events and concerts listings, curated by CFRC's Community News and Arts Coordinator, Jenny Hinch. If you have an event or concert that you'd like to add to our online or on your calendar, reach out today via CFRC.ca or at CFRC Music on Instagram using the link tree in our bio. That is all things current in Kingston for this week. Thank you for listening to CFRC's local news programming, brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, and for our podcast, Smith Engineering at Queen's University. To revisit episodes and listen on the go, head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
Thank you for listening to this podcast produced at CFRC 101.9 FM at Queen's University, situated on the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee peoples, and brought to you by the generous support of the Faculty of Engineering and Applied Science.
The radio show that helps you relax and unwind after a busy day. Ah! Raccoon Radio Show with Gino Alash. Hard rock and heavy metal. Every Tuesday from 8 to 10 p.m. on CFRC 101.9 FM, Kingston, Ontario, Canada. Stay heavy.
On September 23rd and 24th, you can meet over 100 employers in the main gym of the Athletics and Recreation Center. If you are considering a career in engineering, computing, or technology fields, then join us on September 23rd for the Engineering and Technology Fair. On September 24th, many top companies, organizations, and schools will be at the Career and Further Education Fair. Pick up your free copy of Queen's Best Interview, Resume, and Cover Letter Highlights magazine on both days and get free professional headshots on Thursday, September 24th. Both events are open to all Queen's students of all years and run from 10:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m.
Coming up now on this week's Release Radar, in partnership with the Kingston Music Office, we're pleased to present back to you Royer's second single off his upcoming album, Charlatan. This song explores the story of someone who is on the run to escape their fate. No matter how far away this person is hiding, they always gravitate home. Check out the CFRC archives for our conversation with Chris Royer about his new music from June 18th via CFRC.ca. If you're a local artist looking for airplay and social media promotion, be sure to complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via Visit Kingston.music on Instagram today. In the meantime, stream Back to You by Royer on your favorite platforms and enjoy it here with us now on CFRC 101.9 FM.
In my mind, everything's fine. I'll be all right. Lord knows I tried. The radio says, dead or alive, 5,000 died. As reason why lay me down. This train is barking off the tracks. Throttle break down, no turning back. Running, running, running out of the blue. Running, running, running back to you.
Have you ever been to Extended Family Kingston?
Stop by and visit our programs and talk to our staff to find out how our staff will support you.
So many things we like best are golf,
doing crafts,
hanging friends,
and gardening.
I like doing everything at EAF. We just love Extended Family.
Visit us at www.efkingston.com.
Come on down to EFK, located at 660 Baggett Street, for a great time. Be a part of our extended family.
Come to Extended Family. Come and have some fun.
This is Noel.
I did.
I host the Black Alternative on CFRC 101.9. where we highlight alternative music, diasporic belonging, and all the black sheep making music they're not supposed to. Tune in to listen to me every Wednesday at 3 p.m.
When it comes to Kingston real estate, local experience matters. Kim Purcell is an award-winning realtor born and raised in Kingston with over a decade of experience and 100 five-star reviews. If you want honest advice and results you can trust, choose Kim. Visit kimpurcell.ca today for more information.
I've never met a doll I didn't like. If you are a fan of dal or lentil curry too, listen to The Dal Project on CFRC 101.9 FM, Thursdays from 5:30 to 6 p.m. Join me, Sayada, in learning to cook many kinds of dal or lentil curry from across the South Asian diaspora while talking about culture, migration, and memory. You are listening to CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston.
Food is one thing which speaks all languages.
I'm Sayada Jaffer, and this is The Dal Project, a show about dal, aka lentils and legumes, and the rich and diverse ways that South Asians in the diaspora cook and make meaning of it. Today I cook and speak with Eram Aunty, aka Eram Bhatt, a Kashmiri educator who has been living in Kingston since 2011. She's the principal of Manar Academy, Kingston's Islamic school. Eram Aunty teaches me a masoor and mung dal recipe with a delicate roasted garlic tarka as we talk about her passion for children's education.
In our time, like when we were young, in our families, they usually used to have meat in the lunch. It was like it will be breakfast, lunch, and dinner. They usually used to eat meat at lunch, and at night time it will be dal and rice. We call dal chawal, and you can add it if you feel like you want, like a runny dal with the chawal, or you want it with bread. So I usually put it stirred in the pan. When we are making it, we never measure it. But when my kids were, especially my son was learning, he was like, How much? So then I have to do the measurement. I was like, okay, this much, you know. Why people usually mix mung with the red lentils? I know the youngsters don't believe. We always say that the red lentils, it's very hot, the after effect. So you mix it with mung, taper it down a little bit. So that's why they mix it. So now we will wash it. You thoroughly wash it. It's better to wash it with cold water. See, you will see like some stuff will come out. Very little over here. It's really clean in our countries. Now it is clean over there also because people don't have time. In our countries, when we used to make dal, first you have to look for all the stones. Especially moms used to give it to us. So you used to do that. 3-time rinse will be fine. You're not going to wait for the water to become transparent. So now you can see that it might be like 2 inches above the dal. The water should be that much. And we are going to put it on like medium to high heat so it will start boiling. So in the meantime, when it is boiling, you can peel the garlic. I usually wash my garlic because then the peels of garlic, they don't go everywhere. So once you wash it, you just half it. From the middle, you cut it. And you will see, once you cut it, it's very easy to take the peels off. My name is Eram. We moved to Canada, Kingston, in 2011 from US. We moved to Kingston, actually. And people like in Canada, in America, our friends, they're like, where is Kingston? Why didn't you go to Toronto? I was like, my husband, his brother was here. We lived very far away from family for a very long time. So that's how we moved over here. I think once you start getting a bit older, you want to live with your family. I used to teach in an Islamic school in America. My degree is in political science. I grew up in Pakistan, and over there, once a girl is older, iski shaadi kar do. Let's get her married. I really wanted to become a politician. Which was not,
No, now I'm like set on education, actually. I love teaching kids and I love being around kids. For the first 10 years, we were in Pakistan. We moved to US. When my daughter started full-time kindergarten, I started volunteering in their school. They were going for Islamic schools. Then moved to Pakistan for some time. A new Islamic school started there. So over there, I started working in that Islamic school as a kindergarten teacher in Lahore. That's the city I grew up. Basically, I'm from Sialkot. Our family is from Kashmir. We are Kashmiri. We don't know the language or anything. The only thing we know, the food. But food is one thing which speaks all languages. I have a neighbor. She was from Morocco. Not a single word of English. I will spend hours with her. And we will communicate by gestures, by signs, then by cooking. She's showing this and I will say, oh, garlic. And she will say it in Arabic. But in Pakistan, I worked full time and they go to school. And that was my big experience. Moved back to US. There I started in an Islamic school full time. I was the kindergarten teacher. And I worked there for like 10 years. I loved it. When they learn things, there are so many stories and I have seen them grow up. So then we moved to Canada in 2011 and I didn't have a job. What should I do? And then I went to the masjid and at that time Imam Sikandar Hashmi was the imam. So I spoke to him and I started working, teaching Islamic studies to grade ones and grade fours. After 2 years, Imam Sikandar moved to Ottawa. We had the Islamic school in our masjid. He actually trained me and gave me the responsibility. From 2013 onwards, I'm running the school. Alhamdulillah, it's going on well. Like this year, we had 175 students. We have Quran classes during the week and weekend we have Islamic studies. Then in year 2024, everybody used to talk about, oh, Toronto has full-time Islamic schools and in Kingston, we don't have it. But it was a very big undertaking, you know, because it's not government funded and you getting the building and everything. It's mostly depend on donations. But then I think there were these bunch of brave brothers and they're like, okay, we will start. So we had 13 students first year. But alhamdulillah, it went really well. People liked it. This year, we ended the year with 28 students. So we are going into the third year of the school. I run that school as well. I'm the principal for that school. I'm going to show you the dal as well. So see, it is boiling. I'm going to take a spoon.
To skim the foam.
Skim the foam. Just lightly, you see, as much as you can. Leave it to simmer. It's not done yet, but you will see that the color is lighter and it feels like some are cooked and some are not. So we will leave it like that and let it cook for a while. During the school year, that keeps me busy. Most of the time my husband will cook. He loves cooking, actually. My daughter, she's a professional chef, so she will cook. So we have cooks at home. He's not like me cutting corners using the ginger paste. He will cut everything, makes his own masalas and all that. In our culture, the women, it's usually if your fathers or your husbands are backing you, you can achieve a lot. My daughter, she loved cooking from the age of 6. And my husband used to say that, let her cook. And I did it too. But I like spending my time in a way to work with the community. And that is my work also or my passion also. It's not a one person thing, you know. There are many people involved. I have dedicated teachers, both schools. They work so hard. But with the limited resources, we make it work. We participated in the science fair as well. Very proud of our girls. And then they got some awards. And they were so happy and they can't wait for next year. It's Islamic Society of Kingston, shortly called ISK. And it's on Sydenham Road. They did the extension now. We have a gym now. And we do some events where the other communities come and participate. So my focus now is mostly kids and their education. When I had more time, I used to volunteer with the E. Fry Society, Elizabeth Fry Society. It's for the incarcerated women when they come back. So we used to cook for them once a month and do like Christmas and Easter baskets. And one time we were making the Easter baskets and we were like, you know how funny it is that the Muslim and Jewish women making Easter baskets for the Christian women. For our kids to understand the value of food,
we were in contact with the food bank and they were talking about the scarcity of food. And now the food bank also started with the halal food. Actually, one of the volunteers, she came and spoke to me about what is halal and what is haram or what is zabiha. So I told her, I was so impressed that how much they care about to serve the community. So then we spoke to our kids and we collected some non-perishable food and we took the school to visit the food bank. We always connect our kids to the local community and local needs. We have a twice a year, like we do it one time with the weekend school and one time with the regular school. We collect the food and then we go and donate.
I want to come back to a bit more about your past because you mentioned you're Kashmiri and I didn't know that about you. How long ago did your family leave Kashmir?
It will be my great grandfather. And we lived in Sialkot, which is not very far away from Kashmir. Our family, around partition time, they moved. My mom's side, my nani, my maternal grandmother, they moved to Amritsar. And my paternal grandmother and father, they moved to Sialkot, which is now, like when partition happened, that is part of Pakistan. We are basically from Sialkot. My daughter, she became our mom, actually. She is like, I want to take care of you guys. I was like, no, nobody said you need to take care of us. No, you guys don't listen. It's the tables turned. One time I was telling my son, are you my father? He's like, yeah, I have to act like that. I was like, nobody made you my father, okay? But the thing is what they said for us, I used to check that in my dad, that he was diabetic and he will love sweets. And I was like, don't you know? And same thing I'm doing. I will eat sweets. I love sweets. And that's the only thing when my kids will be like, no, you have to have a control on it. You have to exercise. These kind of things, which I know it's benefit for us.
They do it because they love you.
Yeah, that's what it is. You know, and they help us. They are good kids. We are blessed. My granddaughters, mashallah, I have two. And they are my heart. One is 5. Very good in math. Love maths and science and space and all that. The other one is 4 months. So we have fun when they come over and all that.
Who taught you this dal recipe?
So see, now when I press it, some are cooked, but there is a little bit. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to cover it. It's not been 10 minutes. It's on there. We have it on a very low heat. So I'm going to cover it. Actually, I hated cooking when I was growing up, like in school and college. And I'm the eldest at home with 2 little sisters. And my mom used to tell me, you need to learn how to cook. I don't want to. Because my mom was the best cook. I learned cooking after I got married. And I lived in a giant family with like 10 people. So I was always afraid that it's going to be really bad. So I will ask my husband to come and taste it and tell me. Because he lived in US by himself. And his friends will say that, oh, he will make dal chawal in like big pots. And then everybody is at his apartment because everybody is eating one plate of dal chawal. So he was the one who guided me. If you want to learn something, you will learn. So now is the time we are going to put our spices in. So I have the salt and our food is not complete without cumin, red chili powder, turmeric, ginger, garlic and salt. 1/4 teaspoon, yes, of cumin. And then I'm going to take the chili. So it's like half. If you want spicy, you can put more green chilies when you're putting green chilies. 1.5 teaspoon of salt. We will mix it. Turmeric also like 1/4, you will say. So once you will see that with the red chili powder, the color will change a little bit. And now you see that there is not much foam left because we took the foam off. The heat is still like between low and medium. It needs to simmer a little bit more. And then we will start with the tadka. I need to get the ginger.
So if you used to watch your mom cook, but your husband also taught you a lot about cooking, is this recipe an adaptation of both your mom and your husband's cooking?
I would say more mom. more mom, actually. That's how she used to cook, especially in summer. In Lahore, it's very hot. It's like right now, 48 degrees over there. We always liked light food with rice and this dal. And then she will make a salad with cucumber, tomato, simple salad. And sometimes chutney as well. So I just take this much of garlic and then a full heaped spoon of ginger paste. Okay, like that. And I will mix it a little bit. So once a boil will come, then we will start for our tadka. We are just going to wait for the boil to come. What I do is I use butter and I put a few drops of olive oil, because butter, if you are cooking it, it gets brown very quickly. So if you mix it with olive oil, it tends to stay. And we have cilantro. And cilantro, when you are using, I will not say that use only the leaves. The flavor is in the stems, actually. We tend to just like take the, you know, the bigger ones, and the rest we are going to wash. For me, I use scissors to cut the cilantro. Even like chili, green chilies also, I cut them with scissors. Not very small, not very big. You can do big if you have picky eaters and people don't like to eat the chilies. But some people like it, so they do it very small. So you took two big chilies and then you did that. You put turmeric and you put ginger, they have benefits. Turmeric is a healer, so we use it a lot in our cooking, in all our cooking actually. My husband, who is a better cook than me, he buy fresh turmeric, peel it, it looks like ginger, and then crush it and then use it. So it brings more flavor. So now it's time for the tadka. This is my favorite tadka pan. I am generous with butter. My kids were like, you use too much butter. I was like, that's one thing I like to use. People used to say that, oh, butter is not good, butter is not good. Believe me, butter is better than other oils.
Yeah, that looks about 2 to 3 tablespoons.
Tablespoon. And then a drizzle of olive oil, because you don't want your butter to be brown. And you see how I cut them? I didn't dice them or anything. I just like cut them like this because they were big. I will just do it like this.
So you're cutting the larger cloves into quarters.
Yeah, quarters. For the aesthetics, you can cut them in slivers and you can do that. See, it's start like sizzling like that. And I'm going to put eight of your halves, yeah, cloves of garlic. You cut them and then you put them. So you do it on a low heat, but see my dal is simmering because I have it on and it's simmering. So I will leave it like that. But now it's the time to put the green chilies. I'm going to take the spoon out and I'm going to put the green chilies on top like that. Green chilies also give it flavor, you know. I remember sometime people used to cook only with green chilies.
So right now you're cutting the
cilantro on scissors and putting it on top of the lentils, because then I'm going to put the tadka on top. Dhania. So dhania, cilantro depends on you. You like cilantro, you put a lot. You don't like cilantro, you don't put a lot. For me, I love cilantro. So I put a generous amount. Then, you know, like I leave some to put it after when I'm serving. As I told you, like we cook sometime, if we don't have cilantro, we are like, oh, okay, that's fine. But if there is an elder from our family, she will like, oh no, I cannot cook. Cooking cannot be done because we don't have cilantro. So cilantro was a must. You see, you can smell the flavor because you are doing it slowly.
Yeah, you can smell how the oil is infused with the garlic.
Yeah. You keep it on a slow heat because you want to infuse the oil with garlic. And you will see it start getting brown. Once it is like really brown, then you put cumin seeds. And the dal is boiling. And that's fine because we have enough water in the dal. You will see it's not sticky.
Right.
It has a good consistency. This is for rice. Some people make it thick because they want to use it with bread or paratha or something. Because it's the butter, you will see that the butter is getting brown.
Right.
The garlic is still not that dark.
Right.
Either we will put more of the olive oil in it because you don't want the butter to be dark brown. The golden color is fine. So now you see that the garlic is getting brown. One, two.
So two heaping teaspoons.
Teaspoons of cumin seeds. And they will bring the flavor. And you can smell it too. The smell start coming.
Yep.
Our elders never used to measure anything actually. They will just eyeball it and just put it. Somehow the measurement will be on point. I do it too sometimes for my some foods. But if I'm cooking for a dinner or like a party something, I become more conscious of it. This is done. Garlic should not be black.
Right.
It should be dark brown. So you see that most of it is dark brown. Cumin is dark brown too. So now you take the pan, you know, far away from your... And you take one spoon of garlic, put it like this. It takes all
the
oil.
Yes.
It takes all the oil off. So your tadka is done, your dal is ready. You just cover it and you put it on the side. You know, leave it for 10 minutes and it will be infused with the tadka and flavor and everything. And then you can eat with rice, paratha, roti. People like it, you know, like they used to make it and then eat it early morning as well. I remember in Sialkot they used to do it. Thandi, cold dal from the fridge and hot paratha. And it tastes very good, you know. Like when we visit our aunts in Sialkot, they used to make it like that.
Thank you so much for showing me that. And I look forward to trying it in a few minutes. You know, you mentioned that you studied political science and you have a master's degree. Your sister became a psychologist. Was that common for the women in your family? Or how many of your friends were also studying?
I will say it was common in where I was in Lahore. At least every girl at my time, at least they were doing graduation. I have cousins who are doctors. I know the parents' priority was getting us settled down. And at that time, settling down means that, oh, you need to get married. And that is how you settle down. We were three sisters. My father wanted us to get the education, actually. My middle one did her bachelor's. She... got admission in master's, but my mom passed away. I was married at that time, living in a different city. So she took all the responsibilities of the household. She couldn't continue her studies. My father encouraged her, but because she was young, she cannot balance household and studies. So she's like, no, I'm good. But my younger one, she wanted to, and she did. She did her master's, her called like advanced diploma in clinical psychology, and then her PhD and all. Then when she became a psychologist, she worked in very renowned schools. Our religion gave us the right. If a girl will say, I want to get education, it is the duty of the parents or anybody who is responsible or the caretaker of the girl, her husband or anybody, to give her the education, because that's the right Allah has given us. But when it comes to culture, yeah, there are people, but they take the name of religion, but they are following their own cultures. I started driving at a very early age because I didn't have a brother and my father was the only person who can take us. I learned driving at the age of 15. I was driving, taking my sisters, my mom, and I loved driving. That was the one thing I wanted to learn. We have school graduation in grade 10, and then there is college 11th and 12th. So when I did my graduation, girls were talking about, oh, I'm going to learn this. I'm going to learn how to sew clothes or baking. And I went home and I told my dad, I want to learn driving. And he's like, okay. My dad was one who had rules, but he never stopped us from doing things. Never. So I think that confidence or that push from my dad was the one that keep us going. If your father is behind you and he wants you to get education, you will get education.
You've talked about your passion being Islamic studies and education for young people in Kingston, young Muslims in Kingston. What drew you to that?
In Pakistan, it was not very common for the women to go to the masjid. We usually used to get our learning at home. But when I moved to US, that was an eye-opener for me. My move to US drew me closer to my deen. I was not a muhajjaba before. Mahajuba means the person who does hijab, cover herself all the time. I wear like modest clothes, but not covering my head because it was not in my family culture, you know. Only older people used to cover their heads. I remember when 9/11 happened that one lady came to me, oh, your husband is forcing you. I was like, no, he doesn't say anything about it, actually. It's my own will, I do it. You have to explain it to the people at that time that it's not that somebody is forcing me to do it. Recently it happened. We went to the pool when it is for the seniors. My husband is a senior, so I went with him. I'm in the pool. I'm wearing my burkini, is like the covered swimsuit. So a lady came to me, I know that you want to have your hair out and all that. I was like, no, I don't. No, I bet your husband is wearing a swim trunk. I was like, look at him over there. He's wearing a t-shirt and a long swim trunks. So I was like, no, he's covered too. Why you feel like you are like suppressed or you can't do things? Honestly, when I started covering, taking the hijab in year December 2000, I feel more confident. I took my kids everywhere, cinema, theater, everywhere. Even here also, I went everywhere to plays and all that, games. I felt that it gave me more confidence and courage, actually. And still I feel like that. I met all these dignitaries or like key people in our society. People will say the mayor, the MPP, MP. I meet with them like this. What I do is, because I was into like matching my like, okay, if I'm wearing something I have to match, I match my scarves. I don't wear like black every time, no.
My mom does too.
My thought is that I'm doing it for myself and for the sake of Allah. I will do it properly and in a nice way. This is something is part of me, so I spend on that. Like wherever I find a good hijab or something, I will grab it, you know. Like the main aim behind me working with younger kids, and that's what I tell my younger students every year. Allah made you and Allah wants you to do the best in everything. If you are a soccer player, you like soccer, be the best. If you like math, be the best in the math. Because that's what potential Allah gave us. You make dua to Allah and you try your best and then you do it. It's not that only like, oh, he should be a good Muslim. No, I always tell them, good citizen, a contributing person. What you can bring to the society, how you can make it better. I'm so proud of my students. I love each and every one of them. When I'm in the school, I become a mother hen. Like when it's like other people kids, but when they are in school, they are my students, so nobody dare say anything to them, you know, because masjid is an open place. So I told the people that if you have any issues with the kids, you know, kids sometimes they play and they do mischief as well. I was like, please come to me. Come to me and let me deal it my way. As I feel confident in my hijab, in my covering, and I don't feel like I'm like missing out anything, I want that in the kids as well, that as Muslims, you can do anything. I always tell them, you know, Allah made everybody good and Allah gave us something which makes it good or bad. What is that? It's our brain. We have choices. We make a good choice, we make a bad choice. So we never call a kid like, you're a bad boy. You didn't make a good choice. You need to think about your choices. Teach them to be merciful to everything, like the plants. So I always tell them, when you're playing, be careful around the plants, you know. Be respectful to the plants, the trees also, you know. I want them to be a complete kind of productive person in the society. Not only a good Muslim, but a good Muslim citizen. That's what my goal is. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Arulanti.
No, no problem. You want to try some?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Okay. So I'm going to show you, see? And now the color, the texture, you can see the shine on the dal.
It's beautiful.
It doesn't look like only boiled. So what I will do is like I will give you a little
bit. That's perfect. Thank you so much.
Okay.
You can really taste the cumin and it's like a delicate taste.
I don't put everything in everything. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people put bay leaves and all. You need to have two or three ingredients which you can catch the flavor, the cilantro also. The cumin I love, and the hint of garlic as well.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Anytime.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Dal Project. Follow me on Instagram at Dal Project. Email me at dalproject@protonmail.com. Intro and exit music are excerpts from the song Creep by Lal. Thanks for tuning in.
CFRC is stoked to partner with KPP Concerts on an awesome summer lineup. On June 27th, be sure to catch Long Range Hustle and Psychobilly legends Reverend Horton Heat on June 28th. On July 3rd, check out alt country legend Fred Eaglesmith, followed by folk punk legend Billy Bragg on July 5th. Emo is alive and well on July 8th with Arms Length and Mo Kenny come to town on July 9th. Hip-hop pioneer Souls of Mischief are here on July 21st, and we'll get some hardcore action with Spaced on July 23rd. Amen Monica brings Arabic jazz to Kingston on August 7th, and finally, August 9th, you can see Lucero Ben Nichols. For tickets and full information on these and other awesome shows, visit kppconcerts.com.
Are you tired of your boring weekly routine? Are you looking for something to look forward to every Friday? Well, tune in to Circadian Rhythm on CFRC 101.9, Fridays